Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and we are back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, am Jason Ophir here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. Just living the dream as usual. How was your week?
Pretty good. It's just been hectic, doing a lot of readings, and I've been on a three-day stint touring and on a gallery, and I ran into one of my alumni tonight. I haven't seen her for 12 years. He's now a doctor in medical Qigong, and we're going to be working together in classical Chinese medicine, so it was really good to be able to reunite with Taylor. So anyway, everything's good. I'm feeling blessed and a little bit tired, but no, it's all good. I'm kind of hyped up at the same time, but I'm really excited for this show tonight.
Give me some of your energy.
I know, I'm always hyped up, ain't I? at least I'm hopefully not wound up too tight.
Yeah, well, you lined us up a great show tonight. Right? You know, it's been a while, I think, since we talked about ghosts. Sorry, I had to just throw that in there for a second.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy. It's been a while. These guys, I'm going to honestly say, these guys are they're fabulous. I'm kind of funny. I'm picky. I don't just say everybody's fabulous. But I've seen their work, and I know them personally. These guys are, really, they're honest. What you see is what you get. Their integrity, and they're very humble. And, you know, it's like just the facts, man. It's like me being in Chinese medicine. I just want the facts. I don't care how you feel. I just want the facts. I want to get some hard, solid results. And that's what these guys are. We interviewed them, I don't know how long ago, Jason. Was it like 4 or 5 months ago? I don't remember. But they're with the Night Stalkers paranormal group, and they have quite a big following. And it's hard to, you know, when you have two pages, two paranormal groups, sometimes it's a little bit hard to go and keep up to date. But, they have also a new group called Paranormal North Coast British Columbia. And I'm proud to say that I am the consultant. I feel like I'm part of their team. We work together. I do walkthroughs and give them evidence before, and we compare notes. So it's really interesting how some of the evidence, it just kind of, meshes together, and some we have to, down the line, they're going to find out what's going on. So we're going to bring them both on. Their name is Joel and Michael, and they can tell us a little bit about themselves.
All right. We'll bring them on.
I'm here.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Yep. Hey, Sherry.
So go ahead and introduce yourself. And quickly, in the last half an hour, we may go over time, so that's not going to be any big deal. If you have any questions, you can call in any questions or share with your paranormal experiences or anything with these guys. You can call us at 1-215-383-3999. Again, it's 1-215-383-3999. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, I'm Joel. And you want to go first?
No, you can go first.
All right. Well, I'm Joel, and me and Michael have been, we've been partners in, I guess, paranormal for over 10 years now. We started with a group in Wilmington, based out of Wilmington, North Carolina, called CFPRG, the Cape Fear Paranormal Research Group. It was a group that I founded with another member from another team I was in, named Star Anderson. Regrettably, she passed away not too long ago. She also was the one that co-started the Paranormal Night Stalker with us. We were all three part of that. We did turn it into a podcast, which is kind of a hiatus right now, because as you mentioned, we also now have started a new group here based out of where I am, which is Kitimat, British Columbia, Canada, called Paranormal North Coast British Columbia. And we have been very, very busy with that, and it's been, if I had a day with 48 hours in it, I'd still don't know if I would have enough time in the day to be able to record and edit the podcast. We've been putting out videos with our the evidence that we've recorded with investigations, been going on investigations. And even this past week has been just completely insanely busy. I've been going almost close to 20 hours a day since Wednesday.
Wow.
That's a long time. My goodness.
It's a long day.
Yeah.
And I just kind of fell into all this stuff. I've been doing
it
for. Yeah, I know. It's sad. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I got into it by accident, and I don't know, either I didn't have a good enough sense to get out of it, or I learned so much stuff when I read it back when you had to use actual books that I figured after all this time I'm able to stick with it. And Joe and I've been kind of going at it ever since.
Now, I know we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We've done this before, and I don't know at what point we're going to do this, whenever you guys want to. It's been a long time, like I said, since we've done this. But we actually have some audio clips that you sent me that we've added to the studio. So we're going to play some EVPs, which is going to be kind of cool. So hopefully that translates well, you know, over whatever people are listening on.
Yeah, no, that's one thing we do have. I've actually have sent you a kind of a mix of both. I've been using spirit boxes. Some of these are the traditional silent recorded electronic voice phenomena. And to me, I guess you could say I'm a bit of a purist or something, but to me, we've got to, as a community, have to come up with an agreement of a new term for the voices from a spirit box versus the voices from an actual silent recording, because it kind of is a different thing. It's technically the same type of media, but at the same time it's slightly different. And I did send you a mix of both, because actually that's kind of where my expertise came into it. Is I am a trained computer tech. And I started working with the one group doing evidence review, and I started working with I was really good working with the audio. And my hearing is to a point where it's actually damaged, but the higher range of my hearing is gone, so I can hear a whisper better than I can hear a scream. And I can pick a whisper in the wind out. And so that's very similar. I got going.
I was doing paranormal investigations, and I was the one going through all the audio. So yeah, I totally get what you're saying with that. I was very good at hearing little subtle things, you know, within the background. So that's very cool.
Because I know
some of the things he hears.
He'll send me a clip. Do you hear this? No, I don't hear a thing. You know, and if I don't hear it, I'll say I don't hear it. That doesn't mean it's not there. It just means I don't hear it.
You know, and you know from working on this yourself, that after so long of listening to through these recordings, your brain does start to play a little bit of tricks on you.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. Also, I kind of conducted some experiments where if I hear something clearly, I'll have somebody else listen to it, and they don't hear it, or they hear something else. And then you tell them what you're hearing, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, you know. That's actually one of the things that me and Michael have always done when we're sharing evidence back and forth. We never label anything what we hear. Like if I'm breaking it down, I'll put like recorder X, you know, clip 001 / the time, and then I'll put the time in it and voice one or sound one or something of that nature. I never put what I hear. To me, it's more validation if I send somebody a clip of it saying, you know, hey, how are you? And they go, oh, hey, I heard, hey, how are you? Then it is, oh, I did hear something. Well, did you hear, hey, how are you? You know, so we always keep it blind for both of us to try to match up what we're both hearing.
and that's,
Gerald,
that's totally
smart. Gerald, can you explain to some of our listeners that are maybe not familiar with this, and maybe I can learn too, what is the difference between electronic voice phenomenon and a spirit box?
Well, now with me, the original definition of electronic voice phenomena was a voice that was heard over an electronic recording, but only upon playback. It was not heard. There comes into, well, there's a difference, as you know, of a disembodied voice, a voice that you hear in the room versus a voice that you only hear on playback. It's a difference between a disembodied voice and electronic voice phenomena. That's why I have the problem with, or not the problem, but I think there needs to be a new term for the spirit box voices, is because this is not something we hear on playback. It's something we hear live and in real time. It's a different form of communication. Is with the electronic voice phenomena, it had to be played back.
Oh,
of course,
wow.
It all started
okay.
with the old reel-to-reel, you know, not reel-to-reel, but the old cassette recorders that you literally just had to hit, you know, record and let go and then rewind and play back. You know, it wasn't like it is now where you have the voice recorders that you can mark and play back instantly, and it keep recording and all of that. But that's the definition of the electronic voice phenomenon, is it is a voice that is recorded on some form of media that is only heard on playback.
And actually, one of the early interest in it goes all the way back, 1941. Man, if I can get this name right, and it's foreign, so pardon me if I mangle it, but it was Attila von Thalé, I believe is how it's pronounced. There's a Z in there that always goose me up. But back in, like, 1941, he tried to he was looking for voices of the dead using a record player, a 78-millimeter record. And then in the mid-50s, he actually switched to a reel-to-reel tape deck. And that was sort of the first shot at it. And then it kind of branched off from that. People that worked with him, you know, he had people that worked with him, and then people that worked with him later on, those people kind of got the movement kind of went along a little bit up to what it is now. Of course, back then, and really you have to remember that we also went from analog to digital, which also, I believe, changes a lot of things in my mind. Although both of the pieces of equipment actually have a magnetic fields are involved. You know, there's a magnet in a reel-to-reel tape deck. There's magnets in a voice recorder. You know, there's, you know, so you have that. But in my mind, there's also a difference in the media as far as whether it's analog or whether it's digital. And some people still claim to get better results from analog, from cassette tapes and things like that. So, you know, but that's kind of where that is.
So since we're talking about this, let's go into the first one I have on my list, which is I have it labeled as could be. Can you set us a stage for that one?
The could be was actually a test for a few months, a year, maybe 2 years ago. Oh, no, actually, probably about two and a half years ago now. Michael and I were testing basically computer programs and apps that would allow us to, you know, supposedly allow us to do paranormal investigation and stuff like that. And basically we were debunking them because, frankly, we only found one that actually did anything legitimately that we can, or at least something that we cannot, can't refute. We don't know how it does what it does, but the results have been too significant to dismiss it. And a clip you're about to hear was actually a test Michael and his roommate Mark were doing in their home in South Carolina.
All right, I'll play it and probably play it several times. So here we go.
I think you enjoy our company a little.
I'll play it again.
I think you enjoy our company a little.
Now, was that a spirit box or was that a...
Yeah, that was actually the...
It was a spirit box.
Not much to put in a plug here for them, but this was actually from the one phone app we found that actually has done things that we cannot disprove or debunk. We have no clue how... I mean, like you heard with that, that's a very direct answer to what Mark was saying.
Absolutely.
That's called the XP7 Spirit Box app. It's on Apple and on Android. I'm not getting paid anything for this group. I've been in contact with them actually just asking how this thing actually works, what are the programs they're using, what are the sensors and everything that they're tapping into, because I think they're onto something. As you heard with that, there's a clear a clear answer to what was being said. In other investigations we have gotten, I've gotten the full name of one of the members of CNBC, first and last name. We've had another one name, or actually we had another two members with their names come across. And, you know, just things like that, that like I said, it makes it impossible to dismiss it just simply due to the fact that there's no way a pre-programmed, like I'll give you an example of this. There was another one that was similar to it called the Alice Box. And it uses a pre-installed dictionary. The instructions on the Alice Box tell you, go into the pre-installed dictionary, remove all irrelevant words, and add words that are relevant to the case you are working. It's a random word generator. I got it to say banana hammer.
Oh, wow.
Well,
it's a random word generator.
I turned the volume all the way up, and I'll play it one more time.
I think you enjoy our company a little.
Yeah, I can't make it out, but it sounds like a male, huh?
I was going to ask Joe, if you want, we have a list of all the ones that we sent them for the show, right? We could put those on the website if you guys will, if you can do that, Joe, and put them so people can go on the website and listen to those with headphones on.
Yeah, I could put it through on the Facebook pages.
Yeah, maybe you could do that and give them the address so people can go on their computer or whatever. If they can't hear it over the radio, they can go on their computer and put headphones on and listen to what we're broadcasting out so they can hear it a little better if they can't hear it really good.
Yeah, I know with I have a Samsung Galaxy that for whatever reason doesn't actually work well as a phone unless you use a headset. So I always have an earphone in whenever I'm using it as a phone. And yeah,
sometimes it's better. It's more, you know, you can hear it exactly. Makes sense.
So now I'm going down my list here, and that was the only one that I had listened to before the show. So I'm listening to the rest of these for the first time, just like everybody that's listening to this. So the other one I have down here is Patrick. I want to play that one too. What's the story behind that one?
That was actually, I have a tendency of, for some reason, whatever first case I get with a group ends up being rather large and dramatic. This case particular we were on actually seemed like a vortex. I got more legitimate EVP as just a voice recorder in a room with nothing else than I've ever gotten with anything else. Inside of an hour, probably, I had somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 separate voices, music. Hmm?
Was that Dyke Road or was that a different one?
No, this is the Angie
Andy?
House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah.
And this is also the first time I was ever struck on an investigation. Something, and I'm... I'm over 6 feet tall and was going about 250 at the time. Something hit me hard enough in the back of the head that it nearly knocked me off my feet. But this particular recording was literally me sitting in a room completely alone. There was only two other people in the entire house with us. I'm sitting in this room completely alone doing an EVP session, and I got a name that came through. This recording was interesting because at the time I was also working with a doctor in California, and his name has escaped me at the moment. I lost contact with him years and years ago. But he was actually a professor, and he actually taught one of the the California Film School. And he actually put this through a vocal analyzer that gave the approximate age, and he also tested the patterns of each voice of everyone that was in the house at the time and sent me a notarized certificate stating that he had done these, that the person speaking on this was male, and I can't remember. I think he said the age was between 25 and 35, and that even through a voice-altering program or something, that it did not match any vocal pattern of anyone known to be in the house at the time. And I could remember.
It adds a lot of credibility to it. I mean, if somebody is, you know, kind of ruling out a lot of the common contamination that one might get during an investigation, you know, other people saying things or whispering and not realizing it, and then it being picked up as an EVP. So that's awesome. So I'll play this one.
We were talking about it, and he heard it on the Night Stalker, the original, when we were doing it as a live web talk show.
Mm-hmm.
He heard it on there and actually messaged me and said, gave me his credentials and asked if he could get a copy of the recording and a copy of the voice of each person in the house at the time. And needless to say, when you know, this guy's like, I'm a professor of, you can look at, you know, and he's given me all of the stuff, the findings. Like, if you would like to send me this, and I'm like, I will send you anything you want, because that's what lends a lot of credibility to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
You know, we debunk a lot of our own stuff. We don't, just because we'll have something. If we try to figure out if it's something else. I mean, we don't automatically assume that any photo we get or a recording that we get or whatever, or a video, we don't just say, oh, that's strange. It's paranormal. We don't do that. We've shot down some of our own stuff. And that's how we always have done it. You know, it's got to meet a really high standard for us to put it out, or we won't put it out. For every one or two that you get, there might be 25 or 30 that you won't hear.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'll play this, and I'm hearing this for the first time, too. So here we go. Okay, I'll play it a couple more times. I'll play it one more time. Here we go. I'll turn the volume all the way up. Let's see here. That clearly sounds like, I mean, it's very well defined. I would think that was just somebody's, like a real person's voice. And so that wasn't the case?
No. that actually also is the first time that I recorded. Regrettably, I don't have any more of this investigation or even of that clip. I had to actually get that off of YouTube, off of an old video we had made. Because, like I said, the person I started this with was Star Anderson, and she passed away a few months ago. All of our original investigation evidence was with her, and I have no idea what happened to it. It left up to whoever was taking over her estate, so I have no idea what had happened to it. But That was also the first one that I ever got. That I was actually like I said, this we had broke off of another group and started our own, and we were doing this investigation, and this was the first investigation we got with this group that we had just started. And that is the first time as a lead investigator, and I sat down and reported something, and I literally, I mean, when I heard that on playback, I almost fell out of my chair as I was in shock. Oh, you know, I was like,
yeah, to me, it's very clear. I don't know how it sounds over speakers or whatever, but on the headphones, I mean, I'm clearly hearing Patrick, and it sounds like, you know, a very well-defined voice. It's not like a gust of wind making it sound like somebody, you know, a branch saying Patrick. It sounds like somebody's clearly saying that.
And what I'm kicking myself for is because of the fact that it was done just in a quick little, like, a 2-minute YouTube video. This was done like probably 9 or 10 years ago. I did actually ask, can you tell me your name? And that's when I got Patrick. So it actually was an intelligent response to it.
What did you hear, Sherry?
It was hard because, like you said, I'm hearing from a phone, a landline phone, and I really believe it that you're saying that when you hear headphones, it sounded like, it was just, to me, and this is just from a landline, it sounds muffled to me, okay? That's how it's clear. So I could not hear Patrick. I heard a male's voice, but it was not clearly distinctive saying Patrick. It sounded a little bit on the muffled side.
We'll have to get those on the website so people can listen to them.
Yeah.
With earphones in.
Absolutely. We've been talking about actually doing this. Well, we've been doing this on with the PNBC stuff that we've been getting. Like when we have a discussion group actually in the PNBC page. Like when Sherry gives us some information, we share it there to attempt to get the community in case somebody knows something about it. Like we had it's actually funny because I didn't put it two and two together at the time. But there is the past couple of investigations we've done have been, we've been getting reports of a phantom hitchhiker on the road between Kitimat Village, where I live, and Kitimat Town. So me and the guys have been out there looking for this because we were getting reports that she was actually active now. So we were like, okay, well, let's go see if we can find her. Well, there's a large rock that somebody had painted a dog face on. I mean, it's a happy little puppy dog face, you know. But I'm talking to, like, I asked my wife and I asked a few other people, who painted the dog face? We don't, you know, I don't know anything about the dog face, of course. I'm not from here. Who, you know, how long has it been there? Come to find out, one of my friends actually painted it. And it was about 7 years ago. And, I mean, I put it up on the webpage. And I've been asking people for like 2 or 3 weeks, people I know about it. I put it up on the Facebook page, and I have the answer of not only who did it, but when he did it, why he did it, and everything else within like 10 minutes. Thing of it is, and I didn't actually put two, like I said, I didn't put two and two together. When Sherry was doing the original reading on it, she said, Sam, telling me she sees two big glowing eyes watching the road. Two big glowing eyes watching the road. It's nothing, you know, malicious or evil or anything, but it's just two big eyes that are always watching the road. Well, I put up this picture, and what is it? It is two big yellow glowing eyes watching the road.
Wow, that's amazing.
There, when I took this picture, I'm actually standing at the road. And that's when I was like, I had not even put two and two together for that. Like I said, it's something that, you know, we've been trying to do more and more. But again, you know, it's just been kind of through the evidence review and picking what to put out. And just we have been doing a little, like, snippets of stuff, mostly stills when we get something, like, flabbergastingly big or something like that. And it's like, okay, this has got to go out now. But, yeah, we'll I'll put it up on the Paranormal Night Stalker Facebook page, which is I always make things as easy as possible to find. So if you just go to Facebook and look for @Paranormal or @Night Stalker Pod, is at TNBC. If even if you like putting it into the address bar, you put the www.facebook.com/@, and it'll take you right to the page. But I will have those up at some point, because I was actually telling Sherry this. This week sometime, for some reason, it's just hearing and what you hear through and what you're listening on at the time. I mean, you might, if you're listening on a big stereo with, you know, high quality speakers or whatever, you're going to hear things differently than you would hear with a guy from with a dollar store boombox. You know, so it's the way hearing works. But normally with any type of EVP or anything like that, earphones are better to use than anything else.
Yeah. So we got this. So now what about for the listeners out there that are saying, you know, come on, ghosts don't exist, it's all in your head. What sort of experiences have you had during the course of your investigations where it's like, yeah, ghosts are real? Now, you mentioned being hit, you know, in the back of the head. Have you had other experiences like that that really kind of solidify your belief in that spirits do exist?
Oh, well, yeah, many.
You want to go first?
I don't care. I've had so many, I wouldn't even know where to start, but I can give you a couple. You go ahead and go first if you want.
Well, I think, first, that was the first one I had really gotten as an investigator. Before that, I had seen shadow people and stuff like that on investigation. Well, for one thing, I grew up in a house that was haunted. My brother had seen stuff. My mother had seen stuff. I was very young when we moved from there. I don't remember anything. I did live in a house after that when I was about 8 or 9, and I do remember it quite well, hearing someone walk past my room back and forth down the hallway in the middle of the night. Things like that that just started triggering and, you know, me wondering, okay, this is not right. There's nobody here. Why am I hearing footsteps? But I think really when, you know, and it just, it builds up. And this is something else that I don't know entirely, but it seems like the more receptive you are to it, the more likely you are to experience it, honestly. Because I had already started looking into this stuff and started reading more about it. And like I said, I'd always heard stories, this stuff from my mom. And like I said, I had seen shadows. I've heard, you know, knocks on solid until I was about, I think it was 17 at the time. Oh, must have been about 16 at the time, 16 or 17. And I was actually working night, and I was sitting there. Everybody else had gone to bed. I was eating my dinner. I just got off work. I got off at like 12:30, and I watched a boy about 11 years old walk out of my kitchen drinking a glass of milk, walk into the middle of my living room, and disappear.
Was he totally solid? Like you couldn't tell the difference if it was a real person?
No.
Or is he like
a slight haze? It was. I always described it as kind of looking at one of the older photographs where it's just they're in focus, but not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a soft focus. There was...
You said hazy. Is that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit of a haze to the way the boy looked. But
wow.
Other than that, he was pretty solid. I can describe him. He was wearing he was barefoot. He was wearing, it looked, I described it as his Sunday clothes after church, because he was wearing black pants with suspenders and a white button-up shirt with the collar undone. He had blonde hair. It was combed over to the right side. Like I said, he was in his Sunday best, just got home from church, kicked his shoes off, and got a glass of milk. He came walking out of our kitchen, right into our living room, and right, not paying any attention to me, just drinking his milk. And he took a big drink of it, took two steps forward, the glass went down in front of him, and he just disappeared.
If I had seen that, I'd have been I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Well, that's a classic.
I was standing there with a hovering in midair going, did I really just see that? You know, you get in that, you kind of almost... Your brain has to say, okay, we're going to stop everything for a couple of minutes here, because what I just saw couldn't actually be there, so how did I just see it? So it's like, okay, we're just going to stop everything for a minute. We're going to collect our thoughts. We're going to figure out what's going on here. And then it came back and was like, I got nothing. I don't know. And that's when I kind of said, okay, I know what I saw. And I'm going to figure out what that was. And that's when I went really heavily started doing research and reading every. I went and wiped out the New Hanover County Public Library. Every book on paranormal, on folklore, on witchcraft, demonology, theology, everything. If it dealt with anything paranormal or religious or anything of that nature, I read it cover to cover. That was really my start.
And all it takes is one thing like that to open up that door.
Yeah, because he was the first one I saw, and he was definitely not the last.
Well, I had read about stuff. Cause I was raised Catholic and fairly devout. Not, you know, I mean, I didn't go all the time, but I was pretty good about it. And so, you know, you had a certain set of things that you knew about that you took for faith. You know, they were part of your doctrine of faith. And, you know, and then when you run up into something, and it, like you said, it makes your brain kind of hiccup, because I was staying at a friend's house after my mother had passed, and something woke me up, and I woke up scared. And it wasn't like a night terror where you couldn't breathe and felt something on your chest. It wasn't like that. It woke me up, and there was a black mist coming through the window, and it blocked out one of those big streetlights on the pole, you know, the real big bright ones. It had blocked that out, and the room had gone completely dark except for this mass. And it was so dark that you could actually see it in the dark. It was a different shade of dark, if that makes any sense. And it was moving toward me. And I grabbed a rosary that I always had there on the bed frame. I always kept a pair hanging over the post of the bed. And I said a prayer, and it stopped moving. And then I said it again, and it retreated back and left the room. And it was as solid to me as any black cloud of anything that I've ever saw. Now, me being me, I've always researched stuff. And I mean, I did it before the internet. So it was, you know, you go get books and you read and you research, and that's what you do. That's not the only report of that black mist that has ever been. Other people have reported the black mist or the black cloud. And it was scary. And after that, I really kind of got into it more, because I needed to find out for myself what it was. Because there's a whole lot that encompasses paranormal. I mean, because at some point you went into religion, for most people. You know, at some point it gets to that. It's what's kind of all intermingled. You know, I mean, and psychology is in there too, because a poltergeist case is, strictly speaking, not a haunting. You know, it's a recurrent, spontaneous psychokinesis. It's an aberration that happens for usually a short duration and stops, and has a living person involved, an agent that's causing it. Most times they don't even know they're doing it, but it's not a haunting. So it falls under the headlines of parapsychology, and that's who studies it most of the time. But it occurs, and people automatically, oh, we have a ghost. Well, maybe, you know. So there's a lot of things. There's intelligent hauntings, there's residual hauntings, there's negative hauntings or demonic haunting. And, you know, all these things are kind of folded in, and you have to kind of know about all of them. Otherwise, you're tripping through a minefield, and that's not a good thing. And Joe's good about that. Every first case he goes on is a minefield. And I love him to death, but that's what happens. Every group he ever been in, the first case they go on doesn't end well. I want to leave it with that. But
how did you put it for Dyke Road? There you guys go, skipping through the field, the minefield in your Sunday bonnet.
Yep, yep. Tripping through a minefield in your Sunday. We're in a bonnet, carrying a basket.
It's just always my luck. Anytime, like I said, the first cases, I just, like the one I was telling where I got the Patrick, I got all these different voices, different names, different things going on, things screaming at me, get out. It was like different time periods. There was music from the 40s, these weird wooden, like, wind chime bamboo things. I got hit there. And then and the reason we were called in is because the spirit that was there, or one of these spirits that was there, was a peeping Tom. And there were two girls that lived in the house that he liked to go and visit them while they were in the shower. So I go in expecting the peeping Tom, and that's what I end up with. I end up getting hit. It almost fried our DVR system. None of our cameras worked, all this stuff. And it was only me and Star that were in. Because it was just
sounds
an
like
initial,
like, sounds like you're a spirit magnet.
It's something, I'll tell you that. it's something.
So we do have two more clips, and I want to make sure that we get to them. So now the next one on my list here is titled Voice One. And again, I haven't heard this, so I'm going to tell you what I hear. It's a little bit longer than the other ones. It's 17 seconds. So can you set us up for this one?
This one actually was before I started the team. It is actually here in Kitimat. I can't give a lot of detail about it. It's a local resident. And I went in. I broke one of the big rules of paranormal. I did it alone. Because at the time, I didn't have a team or anything. I just went in. Because I just did a basic, just set up a voice recorder and a camera. That's all I did, is set that up. The clip is long because it seemed to be whatever was there was interacting with something that had happened in the past, in a residual haunting, or something that was currently happening, which is the fact that I smoke. And you'll hear a loud thump, and that's actually me coming in, and they had a screen door that they kept shut, and the screen door made a thump when it closed. So that
okay.
You hear first, and you actually hear a voice reacting to that. At least it seemed to me.
Okay, let's give it a listen. I'll play it a couple times. Here we go. I couldn't make it out. I'm going to turn the volume all the way up and see if that helps. Let's see. Here we go another time.
This one is a dream. Actually, the voices are very light.
All right. I'll play it again. Here we go. What's the background noise? There's a noise in the background that sounds like could be voices. Is that it?
Yeah, and one of the things that happened very strangely there is a frequency that was going through the house almost constant. And then through one clip, and I think I actually sent you that as well, because I have no clue. I still have not been able to figure out what this is. Frequency modulation. It like goes through scales and then down to nothing. So I'm not sure exactly what that sound is, but there are those are really light. For one thing, it's sounds to me like it's a woman's voice.
Okay, I'm gonna play it one last time here. Hold on. I'm gonna close my eyes and see if I can't pick it out. Hold on. Here we go. I hear something. I can't make it out.
Yeah, I can't either.
Yeah, that one, like I said, the second one, what I heard with it is when you hear me shut the door,
mm-hmm.
you hear a woman's voice come on and say, "Where did you go?" And
right
that's
after
why
the,
I'm right after you hear
right
me
after
shut the door, just
okay.
a couple of seconds that you hear the woman say, "Where did you go?" The
okay, now knowing that.
Thrown, you want to hear it again?
I want to hear it again now that I know that and see if my brain picks it up. Here we go.
Okay.
I hear what you're talking about. I can't make out what it's saying.
Yeah, I can't either. It's interesting. It's hard.
The second one is what throws off to me if it's a residual or interactive, because I can't make out clearly the first word that the know what you did or look what you did.
Wow.
Where if it's I did, it would to me be intelligent in saying that I know you went somewhere, I know you did something. Where did you go? I know what you did. Kind of
it's like that
folding.
Movie, I Know
like
What You Did Last Summer.
I was going outside to smoke, so it might have been a commentary on that. I needed to quit. But if it looked what you did, that would lead me to think it was residual just simply due to the fact that I didn't really do anything but what you did. You know, that would make me think that it was a reaction to something that had happened in the past and it was a residual energy replaying. Or I know,
mm-hmm.
Where did you go? Look what you did.
And
so
actually
that
one for me actually, because when I heard it on the computer, when he sent to me the file, when it first happened, I listened to it and I could make it out. But actually listening to it over the phone with you playing it, it actually got my brain working a little bit because it almost sounds more like a magnetic fluctuation. It's got that, there's something moving in there. I would almost be willing to bet that there's some kind of a flux going on that made that. I hate when it does this. It gets my brain working and I'm up all night thinking about it.
And I've done actually another recording in that house. A few months later, I came back in and set up the same equipment again for them. And I actually didn't get anything on it. And that weird talking about, it wasn't there the second time.
Did you do a magnetic field sweep the first time?
Yes. That always... do that first off, just to see what might interfere with stuff. There were a few high spots, but I made sure the equipment was away from it. And it doesn't explain, like I said, it's going to be dating me a little bit, and it was still a little bit before my time, but I watched it with my mom and reruns of Outer Limits. You know how when they're doing the vertical and the horizontal thing at the beginning of it, it makes that, like, humming sound when they're adjusting it?
Yeah.
I recorded that. Pretty sure I sent that to you, Jason. I'm not positive, though, because, like I said, I still, to this date, I have researched this for probably 3 years, trying to figure out what in a home could naturally cause that. Because I had nothing on. I mean, there was nothing on. The house was, I didn't like shut the breaker off, but I turned everything off. There were no lights on, no TVs on. I actually recorded at the refrigerator and stuff like that, where a refrigerator may be kicking on defrost, something like that. I tried to debunk it and I couldn't. But it actually starts with a low level and it increases to a high level and then it goes back to zero.
And did you send me something? Did you send me something titled Capture?
Actually, I think that is the sound I'm talking about.
Oh, do you want me to play it?
If you want to, go for it.
Yeah, let's do it. There we go. Is it that pulsing sound?
Yeah. Sent you the wrong clip on that one, but because it's the pulsing sound that you're hearing there, it kicks up and goes into a higher frequency, into a solid state, and then it drops off again. And when it drops off, it's gone.
It's a very uncomfortable sound. I don't like it.
Yeah, I was
able to
actually talk to
Sheriff
about
that. Yeah, I paused it. Okay, I think I'm starting over again.
You know, that may actually have some infrasound in it.
Yeah, that's like, I think I was talking to Sherry about that.
On the low end, it's causing that because it is kind of disconcerting to your brain a little bit, even to hear it on the phone. You know, it's got a sound that the fluctuation is disconcerting.
Yeah, you can go on and pop it. But it does have the sound in it. And it's like
could
I
it
said, go on.
Could it be somebody's heartbeat? Could it be somebody's heartbeat? I mean, that would be a jacked heartbeat. But that's what pops into my head.
Only person that could have possibly been was mine. And I don't think my recorder, actually with that capture, that was actually done off of a webcam. And I don't think the webcam microphone would have been sensitive enough to have picked up a heartbeat.
No. I don't like it.
I think I was telling Sherry about this, and the reason I included it in there with the EVP and kind of weird stuff is because at that time, we were having high earthquake activity in the area. And there were a few reports of unidentified lights. And it was your show ago that had gotten me thinking on that.
I think aliens when I hear something like that. So I think UFOs or some weird thing.
You know, earthquake activity, seismic activity can cause infrasound. So it is entirely possible that what you were getting was infrasound caused from the Earth itself, from seismic activity that you might have been picking up.
The increase in activity in the house at that time as well.
Yeah, you could have been getting that. We also have something that we find quite often is a static pop, like a discharge pop, before or after a recording. When you get we'll get a voice or a sound or something, or what sounds like a voice. We won't always say it's a voice, but we'll get something on a tape or on a recording, and there'll be a loud pop before it or after it, and that actually we did some research, and it's almost like when you key a microphone up. If you know about key, you key like a CB radio or a two-way radio, and you key a mic up, you'll hear a pop, a discharge. It almost sounds like that. So we don't know if part of what's going on is a static thing or something like that. But we have heard that quite often.
Yeah, that's
my first My first thing I would wonder is maybe it's like a refrigerator compressor or something to do with the furnace, or
that's what
I would wonder.
I thought the refrigerator. So I actually put the one recorder closer to the refrigerator just to see if I couldn't catch. Because honestly, when I first heard it, and then when I heard the one that did the build up and the drop, I thought, that's the refrigerator defrost. You know, I'm figuring, okay, it's got the compressor kicking on louder, and it's got the boom, boom, boom sound and all of that. And so that was actually, that, like I said, that was my first thought. The very first thing I tried to figure out on it. And when I did the second recording, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. The sound was completely gone.
Wow.
And that's why it's thrown me now. And like I said, if you want, I'll still send you the one clip that I actually meant to send you, so you can hear. Like I said, this build up to it, and then this, like I said, the frequency change inside of. I think it would have been one of the longer ones. It's been about 35 seconds, I think, 40 seconds. It goes from that whomp whomp sound all the way, and then it like speeds up, and then as it speeds up, it changes frequency. It goes up
That's
to a much
weird.
Higher pitch and then drops it up immediately.
Hey, guys, are you listening to, like, sometimes when Joel's talking, you hear, like, somebody else is intervening, like there's a background noise, like somebody's talking in the background. Is it just me I'm listening to, or are you picking it up, Jason?
I've heard some weird stuff, but I've just kind of ignored it.
Yeah, me too. See, okay, so it's not in my mind. I'm just like, if somebody's trying to talk, like a party line or something, or, you know, interference, like somebody in the background talking. Okay.
Maybe a TV on.
You have a TV on?
Well, in one of the other rooms. I can't hear it, but that's
okay.
No surprise.
Okay.
It comes in and
out. I heard somebody just, hey, like that.
I did not hear that.
Are you trying to get me?
I don't know.
Are you trying to spook me out, Sherry? I don't want to have to, like, sleep with one eye open tonight.
Because
the spirits are out.
Oh, my goodness.
I have one more clip
here. No, I was thinking
here.
Along the lines of more. My first thought was maybe government or something like that. I don't know. You know, just wondering if there's some kind of, you know, something that's listening in or something. There it goes again. Like an interference, like somebody's trying to get through. It's crazy.
Outside right now. But after some of the conspiracies and the stuff that me and Michael have talked about, I wouldn't be surprised if the NSA has a very long list of our random conversations.
I wouldn't either.
I don't know why would they do that. I mean, it's not like you're talking about anything other than just things that are kind of a little bit out of the ordinary. You know, it's nothing harmful. It's not into illegal things. It's just something that, you know, is off the beaten path. I don't understand, but anyway.
It's funny because we've actually talked about that. We'll be on Skype talking sometimes, and we'll say, well, the NSA is listening. By the time Skype will go dead, and we'll get cut off. And we'll have to reconnect. Well, I guess
that
we don't like that conversation.
There you go. I hear it again. It's like somebody's talking in the background. I can hear it, and I'm wondering if it was like you guys having a background, you know, like maybe like Joel said, maybe a background, you got TV going on or something like that, but I can hear the interference. But it's not the first time it happens, not with just you guys.
Alien.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure there's I think actually me and Michael may have actually reached the point that we've actually got one or two NSA agents that their whole job is just to listen to us. And
yeah, they're
probably the guys that nobody likes. It's like, okay, we're going to give him the him. He screwed up this week.
It's his
job
two,
now.
These two bozos in a basement somewhere listening to us talk. So you got one more clip?
Yeah, I was going to play it this 1 second clip. Why can't you see us? Where was that one at?
That actually in my house, I think.
Go for it. Yeah.
That was in my living room.
Mark doing the test again.
And actually, I think I was by myself. Mark wasn't here. I was alone. And that came across and it scared me. That was so loud and so clear that I actually looked behind me to make sure there wasn't somebody in the room with me. Of course, I knew I was alone. But when you hear a voice like that, the first thing you think of is, well, there's somebody else here.
Sorry, I accidentally hit the button. okay, here we go. I accidentally hit it, and I clearly heard it even with you talking. Here we go. I'll play it a couple times.
Oh, yeah,
that's
definitely. I can hear
clear.
That.
Turn it up now, even more. And so this wasn't a spirit box, right? This was an actual EVP?
Yeah.
No, that was... That was the XP7. That was the XP7.
Okay.
That one recording that you just played was the one reason that made me think that it wasn't legitimate. Because, I've got Class A EVPs the old-fashioned way, you know, with just a recorder or a tape deck, that were nowhere near that clear and that loud. And I'm thinking, no, there's got to be something fishy. That's got to be a programmed thing. It's got to be. It can't be, only because of the clarity of it, you know, made me wonder, well, okay, this has got to be bogus. And so Joe and I kind of differed a little bit from that point on. I mean, even though I know that there are some things that come from it that are responses that seem intelligent, like, where's Mark? You know, but then you get something like that, and if you want to play it again, I mean, that's just so clear and so right there.
I'll play it two more times. Here we go.
And also, at the very end of it, it almost sounds generated. The instead of saying, why can't you see us, it's like, why can't you see us? You know, there's a little bit of a tinny quality at the very end of it that made me wonder. And I still wonder. I will never say to anybody that we have a spirit on a recording because I don't know what those things are. I know we get them because we've got them. I mean, you heard that. But I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's something that was programmed to come out of that thing or if it's something else. Now, it's over a cell phone. It was also over a cell phone that was not hooked up to a cell tower. It had no service going to it. So it's not like it was getting signal from a cell tower. It didn't have it wasn't hooked up to like a cell phone plan where you could pick it up and dial a number and get a call out. It was just the Apple phone that worked, but it wasn't hooked up to like an active cell service. And
I guess
also
it all comes down. To the I guess it all comes down to the algorithm. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and if you think about it, you know, a cell phone
created this app. Ask them, you know, what did you use? What algorithm? We invited them on our podcast. You know, come out and talk. Like I said, we were looking to add this to the list of don't bother downloading this unless you're having a sponsor 13-year-old girl and you want to do something that's going to make everyone scream. You know, that's the list of how so far every app and every computer program we've ever downloaded, that's been it. They've all been, in my opinion, they're games. They're, you know, something for little kids to use as sleepovers. And when we hit this one and we were getting responses that I could not write off, I couldn't say then I had to move it into the category of, okay, now, how are they doing this? What is it that they have programmed in that nobody else seems to know how to do? And what sensor are they using that nobody else seems to know how to activate that is picking up this stuff? And we got Jack from it. We never got an email. We never got a response. We never got nothing.
I know of the guy who created it, and for the life of me, I can't remember his name. It's not the I know who it is. I have to jog my memory.
Yeah, it's like I said, I'd love to talk to them because another one here in Kitimat is Dyke Road. We were getting some vicious stuff there, vicious stuff. And it even attached to two of our members. Two of the members of PNBC got attachments from this. I actually had to call in another person that we work with sometimes, and she's done favors for us. She's been on the podcast before, June Lundgren. We had to call her in because one of them had seen a shadow figure outside of his house. He had a security camera set up, and he kept seeing a shadow figure outside of his house. Then one of the other members actually was just driving past his house and saw it standing there. He was starting to have nightmares, constantly have nightmares. And to a point, one time he woke up punching something. And we're talking swinging, full force, swinging hard enough that just the motion knocked his dog off the bed. Another member was seeing something standing. It started outside of a window and it moved inside of the room. We had one demonic and one dark, or one negative entity attached to the two members. You know, just, and we were getting like, just, that was where we actually got the one member's full name, first and last. And with Psych Road particularly, anytime we would talk about it, we finally had to start calling it that place. Because if we said it by name, we would be disconnected. It would shut
creepy
down everything.
Did it happen right away? Yep. When that happened, when you did that investigation, was it right away or was it something that just kind of built up?
The figure and everything started right away, but the other stuff moved over the next, I think it was about a 2-month span. And to the point of, I had to have somebody step in. I'm an ordained minister as well, and I actually went in, I made holy water and holy salt and did a house blessing, and that calmed it down some. And then June, like I said, she took care of it. It's been smooth sailing ever since.
A demonologist, and she's good. And I have to say, I've used her myself, you know, with a case that that I personally knew. So it was awesome, very, very awesome. I mean, she took care of it. It's wonderful. It's unfortunate sometimes when you go into these places, you think you're helping these people, but you find out that, you know, you can risk your own life. You know, it's something serious. It's not like, you know, it's not for something that's to play or to have thrills. Well, let's go see about getting a ghost and this and that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of risk involved, and I think a lot of these shows, they make it really glamorized about, you know, how it really is exciting and this and that, when you're really an active service for these people.
Well, you know, it's like the television shows and everything do just pretty much like anything else. Like, you don't see the, they talk about, like a little tech player, you know, the basketball players, they retire by the time they're in their 30s, if they're lucky, into their 40s. Because the wear and tear they put on their bodies they don't, nobody sees that. They don't see the knee operations and the rehabilitation and the wrapping of their knees and their ankles and all the pain medication they have to take and all of this stuff just to be able to go out there and perform. I mean, we're finding out now with football players, how many of them are like crippled in their old age because of the concussions they've gotten from the helmet collision. You know, they don't, we see the glory of on-field stuff. We don't see the stuff that goes on in the locker room and at home. And it's the same thing with the paranormal. You see all the spooky stuff that like Zach Bagan puts on TV. We don't see the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You know, I know there was an investigation using Ghost Adventures specifically that one of the guys, their wife left them over it, had an attachment, and she left him. Another one, his wife got hit and attacked on an investigation. She worked with the show as well, and both of them quit. I think he did end up coming back, but she left. She will not come back. You know, they don't see those things. That is why we tell, like, we do videos of our evidence. We do put videos out. But I say all the time on the site, all the time, you know, in messages, all the time in comments and in the beginning of most of the videos, we are professional. We know what we're doing. We've accepted this risk. We know these things. We know how to deal with these things. And if we can't deal with them personally, through the years that I've been doing this, I have built a group of colleagues that will step in and help when I need it, when I know that, okay, this is more than I can do on my own. I know I can call Jim. I can say, Jim, I need help. I think I have a negative here. She will help me. You know, with finding more information, I can send you a video or a picture. Share it. You'll hear, what do you see here? And you will help me. You know, the average person does not have those connections. They don't have that ability of doing it. That was actually one of the creepier things. Ruben Dyke wrote, I was actually getting out of the car to do something, and he is safe. Because I always do protection prayers, I carry a metal with everywhere I go. All of this, and out of all of the people that were there, when I said, he's safe. But that one was a very low one. That's why I didn't send it.
I'm hearing a lot of weird sounds. But,
me too. I was getting, Joel, are you guys, Michael, can you hear that? You're pretty clear.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah,
are you hearing anything?
Yeah, I hear him. He's got a bunch of background. I don't know if it's interference from where he's at.
It could be. We're having a little bit of areas here right now.
And it's interesting, at one point, and I'm going to share this, is I sounded like, I don't know you, Jason, but it sounded like a woman laughing in the background. He ain't like that, and then just like clip, I mean, just really short. I heard a woman like, yeah, like that, and it's kind of laughing, just that was it. So, Michael, do you think that might be just a frequency freak or, you know, kind of, I don't know, you're the researcher, but what's your take on it?
Well, now, I've talked to Joe a bunch on Skype and different things and on the phone, and his connections up there aren't exactly stellar. I mean, he gets a lot of interference, you know. I mean, and so that's entirely possible. There are mountain ranges around where he lives, you know, so signals are bouncing and beaming. It's possible that, and he's on a cell phone, I'm assuming.
Yep. We've actually lost the electricity every day for like the past two or three days because birds keep flying into a main transformer.
Oh, wow.
You know,
weird,
but he's getting some interference, but
we're out of time. I'm looking at the clock here and it's winding down. We got to wrap this up. So I want to give you guys an opportunity. So now, a website or a way to contact you, what's the best way to do that?
Right now, I am working on a website for Paranormal North Coast, British Columbia, but I haven't got it up yet. So the best way to get in touch with us or to, you know, just see what we're doing, you can see any of the EVP we've been talking about on here, future videos, future recordings, is on Facebook, Paranormal North Coast, British Columbia. Easiest way to find that is, like I said, just either doing a search on Facebook or putting into the address bar at TeamGC. Also, we're still active on the Night Stalker page. Everything is shared there as well. Plus, at some point, we do want to start getting back out, putting podcasts back out. It's just right now with the evidence review and everything that's going on with the investigations and everything, just there is not enough time in the day to do all of it. But that, again, that we're on with the Night Stalker, we're on Twitter, Night Stalker Pod. I still do check that. Facebook, again, at Night Stalker Pod. And those are the two best ways to get in touch with us. If you go to either one of those and send a message or a comment or anything like that, it all comes directly to my phone. And I never thought I would be, but I am one of those people that my phone is never more than a foot from me at any given time during the day. So pretty much any time during the day or night, someone is on there. They're accessible by all members of the group, and someone will be able to talk to you and answer it if you have a question or something like that.
Very cool. Yeah, the clock's winding down. I want to thank you guys for both coming on tonight and sharing your experiences with us. It's been awesome, and thanks for sending the EVPs. We're going to have to start doing that more, Sherry.
Oh, most definitely. And, yeah, we'll see about getting a round table together. It's going to be awesome having some guys in the paranormal and be sharing their own take in different places. And, you know, right now, listeners, you're hearing Joel from British Columbia, and the other guy is out of Kentucky. Is that correct, Michael? Is that right?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
South Carolina. So, yeah, it's great to have people all over and being able to share their experiences and come together. So, yes, you guys are a dynamic team. I can't speak highly enough about you guys, and really good. So, and I'm really proud to be part of you guys, your team. So it's awesome. But next week we're going to have, and really quick, is Manny Pureheart. He's a psychic, a different kind of psychic. He works on more conscious level and how to raise your vibration. We're gonna have Manny back. He comes in and just talks about how to heal people from a soul level. So we're going to have Manny come out and talk about that, and that's pretty much about it. And in 2 weeks, we'll probably have Joe Panohu. Joe Panohu is on a paranormal team in Hawaii, so I'm probably going to grab him, too, when we do a round table. He's going to talk about hauntings in Hawaii. He's been around Hawaiian hauntings for a long, long time and a personal friend of mine. So anyway, we're going to have Joe Panohu in 2 weeks, okay?
Outstanding. Well, thanks again, guys. We're going to wrap it up, and hopefully we can get you back on in the future, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And I'm going to close
take
out
care.
With a little...
Thanks, everybody, for your support.
Thanks again.
I'm going to close out with a little promo for a friend of ours.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC, and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells the story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.